In an empire where Congress knows nothing, the ubiquitous DC think tank is all. And the Israel lobby and their neocon allies must own a dozen. Well, Americans have a lobby in Washington, too. It's called the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. They advocate for us on Capitol Hill. Join CNI to demand an end to the U.S.-sponsored occupation of the Palestinians and an end to our government's destructive empire in the Middle East. That's the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, Scott Horton Show. ScottHorton.org is the website. And let me tell you real quick here about, I got some new advertisers. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc., which you hear advertised at the top of the hour news here. They're now sponsoring the show. Darren's Iron Roast Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. And then also, Liberty.me, and I don't have the ads running yet during the show, but you'll hear them soon enough. And if you go and you want to sign up for Liberty.me, you get a 30-day free trial. And if you sign up using the custom code, coupon code? That's not it. There's some code. If you use the code Scott, you get $5 off for life. Or if you just follow through the link in the right-hand margin there at scotthorton.org. And so that's cool. And then, also ExpressCoin.com. They're coming back soon, I think. So I'll go ahead and say ExpressCoin.com, too. Good to have the new guys on there. Okay, now to our next guest. It's our friend Dan McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. Yeah, those things necessarily go hand in hand, y'all. And very happy to have you back on the show. Welcome to it. Dan, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay, good. Sorry, right. I hit the phone button because I'm so used to. But I got you on Skype here. Sound loud and clear for us.
Great.
So listen, great journalism here. Thank you for writing it. Bothers the hell out of me. U.S. turns blind eye to Lugansk massacre. And it's really remarkable. Not just the killing of the people, which you're going to tell that story too, but the unreality of the narrative. This is one of those that's pretty far to the distribution curve of how kooky the official narrative can be and still be the official narrative. But anyway, first of all, what the hell happened in Lugansk on June the 2nd, Dan?
Well, as far as we can tell, and it's been backed up by OSCE observers who were there on the ground and other analyses.
That's an official EU organization, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, correct?
It's actually a bigger organization than that. I think it has 50-some countries, including the U.S., as members.
I see.
So it's a big group, and they had a monitoring mission there, and they saw it as well. And, you know, to everyone who looked at it, who analyzed it, you know, it looked like a missile shot from a Sukhoi a fighter jet into the regional administration building. And, you know, it clipped the top of the trees in a park across the way before it went in. And it killed, I think, at least 5 or 7 people, I think. And, you know, I don't know if anyone has a stomach to look it up, but there are some absolutely gruesome scenes on YouTube of people dying, you know, right in front of your eyes. So it was like right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is a big walking area. And so there was, you know, there's plenty of cameras to cover it. And really, I mean, it boils down to this. It's very simple. The forces in Kiev using the military against civilian targets or in civilian areas, in heavily civilian areas. And as I wrote in the piece you mentioned, I mean, it's just absolute silence, not only just silence on the part of the U.S., they're actually commending the forces in Kiev for their, quote, restraint.
All right, now, hold on 1 second, because we got plenty of time to talk about the politics and the narrative and all that stuff. But back to the actual event here. The building that they were attacking, and you talk about, you have the direct quotes in the article and everything here at ronpaulinstitute.org, where, you know, just like one would imagine from seeing Hollywood movies or whatever, you have a bunch of rockets being fired from the air, and so there's a line of impact craters leading to the building that they attacked. But now, so what building were they attacking again? Who was in there? Why were they, is there any indication of why they would use these kind of tactics rather than sending in, say, I don't know, cops or soldiers that they would attack from the air in this fashion?
Well, it's a good question. You know, there had been the Sukhois in the area hitting some different checkpoints and things of that nature that have been commandeered by the self-defense forces. So they were in the area. This particular building is a regional administrative building, and it had been sort of commandeered by the, you know, the self-defense people, the pro-autonomy, the ones who want to break away from Kiev. So they had been using that as their headquarters, ironically sort of paralleling the occupation of administrative buildings in Kiev when the Maidan was running full force. And if you remember at that time, the U.S. Demanding that the Yanukovych government do nothing to kick these people out. So now that those same guys are in power, they just shoot a missile into the building.
Sorry, jumbo jet flying by. I had to slam the window shut. Of course, bad timing on my part.
Hope it wasn't a Sukhoi.
Yeah, no, I have relative security here. I'm more likely to have to deal with ground troops, probably, right? Oh, well. So, okay, now, I guess back to the media and the Western governments here, they just basically, like a kid, just stuck their fingers in their ears and says, I can't hear you, Dan. I don't know what you're talking about. What I saw was an explosion, which means that these guys must have blown themselves up just to make their enemies look bad, huh?
Yeah, and also the way the U.S. basically repeat the line that Kiev sets forth. They've done this over and over again. And it's, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. But I do know that there's a pattern of lying on the part of the Kiev regime and also the U.S. government. That goes without saying. But what they tried to claim is that the forces inside the building were using a heat-seeking missile. Instead of honing in on the Sukhoi, it found an air conditioning unit and went ahead and hit that, and that's what caused the problem. That doesn't explain a lot of things, including why on a day that apparently was not warm, where the windows were open, how you could attract something that requires several hundred degrees temperature, about 400 or 500 degrees or 900 degrees of temperature to be hit. So it just didn't fly. The other thing we pointed out in the article, and this is, you know, sometimes the mainstream media inadvertently gets some things right. If you remember the New York Times a while ago sent a team into eastern Ukraine to look for all of these Russians that have supposedly leading this revolt, and they found none. Well, in this case, there was CNN sources on the ground, and CNN did report on June 3rd, the next day, that based on, you know, all of their sourcing in the area, it appears to have been something shot out of an airplane. So you know you have that.
Yeah, I mean the line of impact craters there from the rockets, that's pretty obvious. And yeah, again, as you say, it's the OSCE monitors who are saying as much, and so you can call it confirmation bias if you want, but the point being that this wouldn't seem to confirm their bias. This would seem to be contrary to what whatever political pressure on them would have them say, which is certainly not that Kiev came in with a plane and just started bombing these people on the ground in this eastern city.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're absolutely right.
So that's why, to give it a little bit more, you know, credibility when it's doesn't seem like what they want us to think, certainly.
And if this were the only event, you could see something anomalous happened, something unusual happened. But, you know, this is a pattern of the behavior of the military that Kiev controls. We saw it in other parts of the Donetsk region.
Well, and you already mentioned they've been turned away. They've had their border crossings seized. They've been mobbed by old ladies in the street who tell them, turn your damn armored personnel carriers around and get the hell out of here. And they do. They surrender to them or to the young men who come and say, give us your weapons, whatever. So they've had so many failures. I mean, the right sector guys, they're tough guys fighting civilians in the streets or whatever, but put them in an actual military situation, they don't know their ass from their elbow, right? And so they don't really have the ability to win. Not that they're up against professional military forces either, but so they're kind of left with this sort of desperation, just shooting from the air because they don't have the ability to get any closer, really. Oh, crap, and now the music's playing and we got to go. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back from the break on the show with Dan McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute. That's ronpaulinstitute.org. Just a sec. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here, and I'm so excited about Commodity Discs from CommodityDiscs.com. They're one-ounce silver pieces with a QR code engraved on the backside. Scan the code with your phone and get the instant spot price. Commodity Discs are paving the way forward for the alternative currency community in America and around the world. The QR code Commodity Disc. Technology has now finally made a real free market silver currency viable. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one free. That's CommodityDiscs.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the thing here, man. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. I'm talking with Dan McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. That's ronpaulinstitute.org. The article is U.S. Turns Blind Eye to Lugansk Massacre. It's running today at antiwar.com as well. I believe it's the spotlight today at antiwar.com. Yes, indeed. And so, I'm sorry, Dan. Where were we in the Kiev Putsch government's attempts to put down the, I guess, independence declared, voted and declared independence of eastern Ukraine or parts of eastern Ukraine here?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the propaganda, but you know what's funny when you talk about votes, if you notice Dr. Paul's weekly column came out late last night, uh-huh. Early today, and he makes a great point that the U.S. really only recognizes elections when the candidate it wants wins, you right. know? So when you have a vote in Syria, I don't want to get off topic, but when you have a vote in Syria where it's obvious that millions of people went out and expressed their support for the current president, as the CIA has expected and as all opinion polls have suggested, Kerry says that was a big zero. That was a non-vote, you know, but that when you because millions were not able to vote, they said. Of course, those were in the areas that were controlled by the U.S.-backed rebels. But in Ukraine, a few weeks ago when you had this vote where also millions of people were not allowed to vote, were not able to vote, the U.S. hails it as this great, you know, victory for democracy. And so you had the same thing when you talk about, you know, Crimea voting to rejoin Russia.
Right. And look at Egypt, too. And Sisi just won this so-called election, which was nothing but a joke after he overthrew the government a year ago and has been chief field marshal ever since.
Yeah, I mean, the parallels with Ukraine are so obvious, you know. And then you have the vote in eastern Ukraine. They wanted to secede. And the U.S., as with Crimea, they freaked out and said, no, that's illegal. That's illegal according to the Ukraine Constitution. Well, why was it not illegal for these guys to overthrow the government? Certainly there must be something in the Constitution about that. But it's just a selectiveness of the U.S. government backed up by the servile U.S. media, you know, they just simply ignore this fact. So it's just incredible.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing of it is, though, John Kerry seems to be not just the guy spouting all this stuff. He's the guy who believes it the most, and everybody else is just shaking their head. I mean, I guess there are a lot of people who are undecided because they just don't know the first or second or third thing about Ukraine at all, so they don't know. But does anybody believe what John Kerry says because he's the source for it? I mean...
Well, the propaganda is so strong here. I mean, try reading the Washington Post, try reading the New York Times. I mean, they simply, things that don't follow their narrative simply do not exist. You know, right. They just simply don't report it. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the bombing in Lugansk, the current shelling over the last couple of days in Slavyansk area, where a number of people have been killed. And frankly, the place is starting to look like Yugoslavia down there. It's just simply not reported in the U.S. media. It just doesn't exist. So unless you spend, you know, hours like I know you do, and I do as well, scouring alternative media, sifting out reports that you think are not easily backed up and trying to find some alternative, you just simply don't have the information. It just doesn't exist. You control reality. It's like an electronic memory hole. It's very frightening.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it really is, especially in this case where... I mean, this is one great example, and you actually had a great write-up on the media cover-up of what happened in the Odessa massacre, which I believe we talked about that at the time as well,
yeah.
where, and as you mentioned here, too, where the media just outright refuses to acknowledge the truth about it, and they will just, you know, go right ahead and report the opposite to be true. I forgot exactly, I'm trying to find it as I'm blabbing here in the article, but... I think you link to a Washington Post or a New York Times article where it says, here it is. It's seen to have been done by pro-Russian rebels. It's just like, yeah. Oh, seen to have been, huh? Whatever. When it's so obvious that that's not the case, but they just toe that line no matter what.
And every time they report it as if these, you know, whatever you want to call them, anti-Kiev, pro-Russia, pro-secession, whatever you want to call them, but they always make it out as if they're always shooting themselves. They're always bombing themselves, you know, and it seems to conveniently fit into their narrative. But you know what else is interesting today, Scott, and I don't want to get ahead of us, but this is talk about the hypocrisy and the irony. You know, starting, I think it was today, NATO is leading a Operation Saber Strike in Latvia, where you have thousands of NATO troops conducting serious exercises right on the border with Russia. You know, there was a B-52 flyover today. You know, if that's not provocative, I don't know what is. But it's completely ignored here. But yet, if you remember, when Russia was holding exercises on its own soil, the U.S. demanded that they cease and desist and get these soldiers out of there. So the U.S. does have military now in the Baltics participating in this this military exercise, this practice military exercise. And so it's just the hypocrisy is astounding.
Well, and the level of danger is incredible. You know, Ray McGovern's coming up, and we're mostly going to cover the Liberty, but he wants to talk a little bit about Ukraine, too, former Soviet expert and Russia expert in the CIA. And he and Eric Margulies, who also knows a hell of a lot about that area going way, way back, they are outright comparing this and not being hyperbolic. They don't think anyway, you know, trust their judgment however you like, but they compare this to the setup for World War One. This is big, stupid blunders being set right up like dominoes to fall. And now, you know, usually worst case scenario doesn't prevail. But then again, you know, even a mid case scenario means nukes going off probably. So this is an area where we should just, you know, I just played this clip of Bill Bradley talking about the mistake of expanding NATO. Well, so what does that mean then when, like you're talking about, they're doing these giant exercises with nuclear bombers flying around and right on Russia's border in the Baltic states here and you know, promising Lockheed products to every government from Portugal to Belarus or what? Belarus if they could, to Poland.
Sure, absolutely. What's even more astonishing, and you know, I've asked myself this, I'm sure you have too, is how did these guys get away with it in World War One, especially World War Two? I mean, how did these Germans go along with what was happening? How did they not, you know, rise up against this dictatorship that was emerging? And I mean, we're seeing it right in front of us, and I think the question is being answered. Look at how the media just simply blacks out information that goes contra to what the government wants them to know.
Right, like we're Egyptians living under the CC media there.
Yeah, I mean, I've often wondered how it happens, and that must be how it does happen. You just keep the people ignorant of it. You just keep waving the flag and saying we're fighting bad guys, we're fighting evil. And here you have it. I mean, I don't know any other way to explain it or understand it.
Well, I mean, that's the book of 1984 in a nutshell. Everybody always focuses on the cameras and the telescreen and all that because that's the most personal part of it. But the whole backdrop of 1984 is permanent war. World War II forever. Not atom bomb war, but World War II level warfare forever and ever and ever so that they can take any excess wealth that you could use to improve your own life or your own society and sink it in the ocean or blast it off into space, as he put it, you know, in the floating fortress aircraft carriers all this.
And send it overseas now because we've halfway purchased a broken Ukraine. And as you see, I think there was another, $50 million that the president decided to send over to help them with their borders. And these millions and billions are starting to add up. You know, it's not enough to shore up Ukraine, which needs like, you know, 50 or 60 billion or more dollars to survive the year. But it's enough to sort of keep certain things moving, and it's enough to be more of a drain on our economy. You know, so it's we broke it, but we can't afford to buy it either.
Yeah. Well, and the only politics is Obama isn't giving them enough weapons. That's the only politics going on here. He's the supposed dove, like in the propaganda from both sides. And so the only people criticizing him are the hawks. And nobody's criticizing him for being a hawk. Nobody that matters, Dan. So all the incentives are the wrong way on this thing.
And what about the hawks who warned us that Putin was just verging on an invasion? It was imminent. I forget that guy's name, but there's some goofball who writes in Forbes, who, you know, every day breathlessly writing about how the invasion was imminent, you know. They get these things so totally wrong, and they never lose their columns, it doesn't seem. Right. But what about that? What happened with that, you know?
Well, and like you're saying about their debts, Putin would be crazy to try to take eastern Ukraine now. And I think this is what part of what Ray is going to say is it still could happen if we force the situation and make it that bad that he really has to go ahead and cross the line there. But still, it didn't. The whole narrative that he's on the offense here is, still wouldn't apply, even if he did take, you know, eastern Ukraine here in a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Too long of breaks, too short of segments. We got to go. Thank you for your time, Dan. It's great to talk to you again.
Thanks, Scott.
Everybody, please read Dan McAdams. He's at ronpaulinstitute.org. He's the director there. U.S. turns blind eye to Lugansk massacre, and follow him on Twitter at Daniel L. McAdams, too. Hey, y'all, Scott here. Like I told you before, the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org represents the best of the libertarian movement. Led by the fearless Jacob Hornberger, FFF writers James Bovard, Sheldon Richman, Wendy McElroy, Anthony Gregory, and many more write the op-eds and the books, host the events, and give the speeches that are changing our world for the better. Help support the Future Freedom Foundation. Subscribe to their magazine, The Future of Freedom. Or to contribute, just look for the big red donate button at the top of FFF.org. Peace and freedom. Thank you. Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against our depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Roberts & Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. Hey, all, Scott here for Liberty.me, the brand new social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features nightly classes, guides, events, publishing, and so much more. Sign up now and you get the first 30 days free. And if you click through the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org or use the promo code Scott when you sign up, you'll save $5 per month for life. That's more than a third off the regular price. And hey, once you sign up, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me.